can just start. I think others will come, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're filling in rapidly.
Lord Jesus.
I am burdened, of course, as usual, and I feel I do have a particular word this evening for all. I told some of the brothers before we started this perfecting fellowship that we've been having once every other Saturday, that if we really want to do this, this new round of fellowship for the working saints, I need the liberty. I need the liberty to be direct, to be frank, to be open, because I feel that we have reached a kind of a plateau or kind of a place in our previous fellowship, all manners of fellowship in the in Northern California. And they were good. I mean, I'm not regretting or despising what our fellowship in the past. It took all of that fellowship to bring us to this point. But as in the case of the a spiritual journey, we should always be climbing the heights. We should never be contented and cease to progress. Once we're in that state, I will tell you, actually, there's no such thing as staying in the same spot. Either you go forward or you fall backwards. There's not really staying in the same place. To stay in the same place is actually to fall backwards as far as the Spirit is concerned, as far as the Lord is concerned, because He is always, always going forward. And so we need the Spirit and the readiness and the exercise to climb the mountain. Our brother Lee always have this kind of attitude, never contented, never feeling that he had arrived, never considered that he has learned everything. That kind of aggressive progressive spirit is a secret of his in terms of his spiritual attainment, and surely in terms of all the work that he did. A lot of people, including saints, are do not understand that, and in fact, they some even had a problem with Witness Lee. Like, you're always inventing new things. You're always springing on us some new vocabulary. You're always doing something different. You're always changing. There are people actually who had problem with Witness Lee way back, way back. But the Lord God is always going on in time, in this bridge of time, for the fulfillment of His purpose. Otherwise, we will never arrive at the New Jerusalem if we are happy with where we are. The job is far from done. The commission is not yet fulfilled. The saints have not fully matured. the new man has not become full grown yet, or the body is still not built. The overcomers, the ranks of the overcomers is not full yet. And so how can we have any attitude of being satisfied? On the one hand, the word says, you know, godliness and contentment is great gain. But that contentment there does not mean spiritual contentment. It just means some kind of human contentment. You know, that we should learn to be contented, be happy with our circumstances, to learn to be satisfied with whatever is measured to us. So Paul knew how to abound and how to be abased because he learned this secret to be contented in all things. But in terms of his spiritual pursuit, Paul was a different person, wasn't he? Forgetting what is behind, even at a late stage of his life and ministry, but reaching forward to what is before, I pursue. I persecute this Christ because I do not count myself yet to have attained. That would happen until the very end in 2 Timothy, the end of that book, that he finally say that I have done it, right? And henceforth there is a crown there for me. But not until that point did he stop, right, so to speak. He was just ever pursuing. So we have these patterns. We have these great examples before us. And you have even a cloud of witnesses in Hebrews 12. The picture, of course, is a race, right? A heavenly race. And in that race, as if in a marathon or in a stadium, there are this cloud of witnesses, those who ran the race previously in past ages, our forebears. And they are there, what? They're stretching their neck to look at that race, to, so to speak, quote unquote, to cheer us on. And so Paul, or whoever the writer was of that epistle, was charging and encouraging these waffling and distracted Jewish believers to lift up their legs and lift up their arms and not give up and continue to run to the end. And so, brothers, to give up, to become contented, to throw in the towel, to slow down your speed, is not the biblical spirit. It's not the divine patterns. It's not right. So here in Northern California, dear brothers, I hope none of us are just okay. You know, we're here. Things are pretty good. There's no big turmoil in Northern California. There's not some crazy rebellion going on. We're one with one another. We're still going to the seven feasts and we're following the ministry. We have church life. We have meetings to go to. And now I am certainly not saying all these bad things or unworthy things. Far from it. They are all necessary. But it is so easy that we can be doing these things. You know, everything is peaceful, and think we're good. And then we lapse. That's how we lapse into just the routine. We lapse into possibly a state of passivity or inactivity. We adopt an attitude of ease and drop the spirit of pursuit. We're pretty good, you know. Brothers, I must say a strong word, the strong word. This is a danger. This is a peril. And I say, in some sense, this danger is among us. This peril is among us. This possibility always exists. And so what can we do, brothers? Well, we have to fight. We have to be active. We have to be vital. That's the burden. We have to be vital. We have to not be lulled to a kind of sleep. We must not rest so easily. And especially for us brothers who bear responsibility, we serve the church, because how we are is how our church will be. The church reflects our condition. It's as simple as that. So, dear ones, I just want to speak this frank word to you, that it's time for us to rise up to pursue further, further. So in this new stage, if you will, I feel my speaking has to be more direct, more honest with us all, so that we would know where we are, we would know what we need to do in order for us to climb, you know, climb up this mountain. Brother Lee always was climbing, and he told us, I need you to join me in this climb, to push this ball, to push whatever it is up this mountain. I need people to struggle with me, fight with me. He said those things a year before he died. Those few years before he passed away. No, the year, the months before he died, he mentioned this. You know, he talked about that vision that he saw in Chifu while he was convalescing from his tuberculosis in Qingdao, this major city in north China. And there he saw this vision, and I won't get into it. You can go to the last pages of the last book of the collected works of Witness Lee. You'll find that. And I believe it is in that fellowship, he told us, brothers, I am struggling. I'm still struggling. Even the Lord has opened up this highway for me, you know, this glorious highway towards the sun. The way he interpreted that dream that he received was that highway is simply the Lord's recovery. And he also said at that time that was the first time he felt burden for the Lord's recovery. Prior to that, he was very much under Watchman Nee. He didn't have that kind of a view. Almost, you may say, that dream that he had, this dream that he had, was the Lord's further calling of him to even prepare him, I would say, to continue Watchman Nee's ministry. outside of China and eventually throughout the earth. So, brothers, struggling is involved. Struggling is involved. Every good thing requires hard work and endeavor and struggle. Only the unworthy things do not need that. Easy come, easy go. But the most precious thing, the New Jerusalem, requires our all, our everything. So, brothers, I hope this would be the spirit in these days as we are proceeding onwards in NorCal. Now, tonight, I want to just along the line of this burden of being vitalized, I want to say something that relates to our service, because we're all serving in the churches. I mentioned in my speaking to the working saints that today God is calling for overcomers. He has been calling the overcomers since before the first century was over. Why? Because degradation has already set in while the first apostles were still alive. Don't think it is the calling of overcomers is a recent thing, because we're at the end of this age, you know, times are getting worse and dark, and so God is calling overcomers. You're wrong. God start to call, or the Lord start to call his overcomers in the early church age, when the church began to fail and degrade. One of the churches that started to degrade early on, you know what church is that? Jerusalem. The very first church, a glorious Pentecost that they experienced. Thousands were saved. The outpouring of the Spirit, the first church on the earth. It didn't take long that Judaism began to take over. By the time of the Apostle Paul, when he determined to go to Jerusalem, to visit Jerusalem. This is before, you know, maybe AD 60, before, to check again. You can look it up. He met James, the top elder there in all of Jerusalem. And he was so proud to say this. Behold, the tens of thousands of these believers who are zealous for the law. The law. Now, talking about going forward, this is not even going forward. This is going backwards. Such a glorious beginning of the New Testament church. Now is what? Back in the fold, you may say, of the law, the practice of the law. Now they may still be the church and meeting not in the temple and offering up sacrifices. I believe they were not doing that. But they're keeping the law. Now to what extent, I do not know, but they were keeping the law. Being righteous by keeping the law. They're falling back into that old religion that God has forsaken. That old covenant, that age, that dispensation was over when the Lord Jesus came to open a new page, institute a new covenant. a new dispensation of grace and so on. And he died for that. He resurrected for that. But yet today, at that time, they were going back to the law. Paul never wrote an epistle to Jerusalem, but he did write something to Galatians, didn't he? No. To fight against that same influence in Galatia. These are churches in the province of Galatia, which is on the eastern part of Asia Minor. Going back to the law. And Paul had to fight. Even he had to withstand and to the face of Peter, remember, who became hypocritical when the people came up from Jerusalem. He was scared about those from James, and he compromised. Without them, he was mingling with the Gentiles. But when those people came, would not be with the Gentiles and just stay with his Jewish compatriots. So much so that Paul had to stand up to his face and rebuke him for being hypocritical. This is serious. Now, to you and me may not be. This is not sin. This is not. But this is against God's administration. This is a return to an old dispensation. This is administratively, governmentally, a very serious mistake and failure. No wonder in AD 70, not many years after Paul was martyred, he sent, you know, the Prince Titus went to Jerusalem and totally devastated that city, as prophesied by the Lord Jesus, so that not one stone is on top of the other. God would wipe out that first church in the New Testament. Completely. So, that's one degradation. Then you have other kinds of degradation. The Jewish philosophy, the different cultures and things of the world, and on and on and on. Of course, if you read these books on the Timothys, you will see at that age the decline has set in. The degradation has begun. So, brothers, it was at that time, you know, the Lord has, or just as the Lord has ascended 10 days before Pentecost to the heavenlies, and that scene of his ascension and his enthronement, you can see in Revelation chapter 4. The whole heavens was open. That was a scene of the ascended Christ at the right hand of God, being the Lord and the kings, and the picture of the throne, the picture of a glassy sea, those four living creatures, the 24 elders worshiping him, you know, this Christ who has ascended, who is given all authority and in heaven and earth, all the power and honor and so forth, as the worthy one. And then in chapter 5 of Revelation, it talks about no one is worthy to open the scrolls, the scroll of God's New Testament economy, because not until Christ ascended to the heavens and what? And began his heavenly ministry. This is not the earthly 33 and a half years. This is another place where he would conduct his ministry in the heavenlies by opening up the scrolls of God's, the mystery of God's economy. And there, I want to get to this point. The Lord Jesus is changed. The Lord changed. Whereas on the earth, he was that sheep that was led to the slaughter in silence to be killed, right? For our redemption on the cross. Here, he is still the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God. John the Baptist said twice in John 1. And so some of his disciples were attracted to the Lord. Andrew, right? Peter, right? Nathaniel and Philip and so on. He's still the Lamb on the throne, freshly slain. But now he has a different status. He's also the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. So Brother Lee coined this term, the Lion Lamb. The Lion Lamb. This is not the same lamb as the one on the earth. So meek, so nice, so unresisting, so compliant to fulfill the Father's will of dying that all-inclusive death for God's purpose. Here, he is a lion lamb, a different lamb altogether in the heavens. And it says this lamb standing there as if it has been freshly slain, right? So it must be recent. The crucifixion is a recent event, recent experience of this lamb. He has just freshly ascended on high. It has seven horns, and seven eyes. Which eyes are the seven Spirit of God sent forth to all the earth? Can you imagine this? This is the Lamb of God since the beginning of the New Testament, not today. The beginning of the New Testament in the heavens. A powerful, warlike, I would even use the word fierce lamb. Like a lion. The king of the beasts. Ready to fight, ready to rule, ready to overcome. And there he has, this lion lamb has seven eyes. Seven eyes, not one, but not two, I'm sorry, not two, but seven eyes. And those seven eyes are the sevenfold, the seven spirits of God. Now, to know the seven spirits of God, of course, you have to go back to the previous chapter about from out of the throne, you know, the throne of God came forth lightnings and voices and thunders. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne. And those seven lamps of fire burning before the throne were the seven, or are the seven spirits of God. I say are because it's still burning today, right now. So the seven spirits is both seven lamps. And listen, there are seven lampstands. Am I correct in Revelation? Am I right? Seven lamps, golden lampstands on the earth. And there are seven lamps of fire burning before the throne. Don't you think this says something? That heaven and earth should match? Do you see what I'm saying? That the lampstand should be holding the seven spirits, seven fire, lamps of fire. It should be that way. I think it's logical to infer this. The The lampstands, we know it has the essence of the Father, the element of the Father, the gold, and then the form of the lampstand, that is Christ as the lampstand in the Bible, and the lamps of fire are just the spirit, but not just one spirit, but seven spirits on the lampstands. And so the local churches on the earth should mirror the situation in before the throne, the seven spirits. And these seven spirits are sent forth to the earth, surely, to execute God's administration, to execute God's judgment, and so on, for sure, ever since that time. And Christ is administrating the earth, or the whole universe, on the throne with and in these seven spirits that is running to and fro on the earth, administrating the world situation, executing his judgment, doing many things. But one of the top things that these seven spirits would be doing would be what? Would be to take care of the church. The churches, the seven churches. You know, the seven churches is not seven local churches. It is a picture of the church in the church age, isn't it? The whole church of God, through the ages, to do what? To judge the church, to observe the church, to burn the church, to expose the church. The Lord in chapter 1 of Revelation, as the ancient one walking in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, is the one who have eyes like the burning fire, seven eyes with the burning fire. I mean, fire streamed forth from his eyes to burn, to search, to judge, and to infuse, am I right? To make alive, to make hot the church. That's what he was doing. That's what one of the main work of the sevenfold intensified spirit is, exactly that. So today, brothers, I don't know whether we have the registration. This is the Christ today. Actually, this is the Christ for the last 2,000 years. Carrying out his ministry, his heavenly ministry, and by the Spirit on the earth, through the seven spirits on the earth. And these seven spirits are just he himself, except in an intensified fashion, sevenfold intensified. And so, because of the degradation of the church, because of the situation on the earth, no doubt that in these 2,000 years, the situation get worse and worse and worse. The degradation got more and more, got worse. But this seven spirits was working. In the last 2,000 years, I don't know who had really expounded on the seven spirits among the Christian teachers. I have not done a study. I only know that the seven spirits is not even included in the creed, like the Nicene Creed, the Apostles' Apostolic Creed, and so on. It's not even there. Of course, at that time, I think the book of the Bible has not been canonized fully, and the book of Revelation is not, you know, accepted as authority along with a few other books. But the point is, no one knows about the seven spirits. No one talks about the seven spirits. No one cares. They talk about Holy Ghost. They talk about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. Who talked about the seven spirits? Even among us, brothers, we didn't talk about it in the early years in China with Brother Ni. Maybe he did. I don't remember that. But it was really up in 1969 that Brother Li began to release this matter in a strong way. And at that time, we really experienced the sevenfold intensified spirit working in ourselves personally and in the churches corporately. Especially there, I must testify to you, in Los Angeles, not a big group of people, but this truth was released. This fact was unveiled. This whole matter that there's such a spirit today working to intensify his God's people to do all this work of administrating, of judging, of observing, of infusing, and so on and so forth, as the fire that burns, and as the from the eyes, coming from the eyes to burn and to judge, and so on and so forth. What is that for? Well, I will say, and Brother Li did say this somewhere, that is to produce overcomers, to intensify the saints in the church, those who would respond to his call in every age, in the church age, to produce, to intensify them, to energize them, to vitalize them, to make them capable of overcoming whatever they had to overcome in their age, their particular age, whether it's in Ephesus or Sardis. Sardis was the suffering church. You know that? The suffering church. I tell you, that was, you know, soon after the first church, because of the persecution. And this happened before Christianity was made the sort of the state religion in Roman Empire. And those who died for the Lord were all overcomers. They were all overcomers. Every martyr is an overcomer. But who would die for the Lord if they are not intensified? If you are just happy-go-lucky, you will not be martyred. Those who are martyred are intensified people. Intensified sevenfold. So one church after another. Those who overcome the marriage with the world in Pergamos. Those who overcome the throne of Satan, the deep things of Satan, the Jezebel, the great Babylon, the Roman Catholic Church. You have to be intensified to overcome that. You have to be intensified to overcome the deadness of the church in Sardis, Protestantism. You have to be intensified even to be Philadelphia. I would say you need to be intensified. And you need to be intensified to what? To overcome the lukewarmness of the Laodicea, the recovered but degraded church. Today, brothers, we are there. We have four kinds of possible situations, scenarios. One, we still are in Thyatira, the Roman Catholic Church. We're still in Sardis, the Protestant denominations. Well, or we are in Philadelphia, the genuine recovered church. And finally, in the post recovered church that has degraded, that is Laodicea. Those are the possibilities. Those are the possibilities. And brothers, the Lord's recovery is always on the line of the overcomers from the beginning. It's not only the recovery with us, even the recovery before us in Europe, in the last hundreds of years. And that can only happen by this seven spirits of God working. Now, why am I talking about all these things, brothers? I'm not here to interested in giving a message on the seven spirits. I am quite very burdened in these days. I don't know how to describe it. I would say today the Lord's recovery's main need is to be intensified. To be intensified, to be vitalized. For the producing of overcomers, even within the Lord's recovery. The Lord's recovery are not all overcomers. The fact that we're in the Lord's recovery does not automatically make us an overcomer. But the Lord's recovery does provide the environment for us to overcome. Look, for example, you know, the word, the open word, the interpreted word. Without that, how can we be the overcomers today? Am I right? Thank the Lord for this ministry. Where else can you find this ministry? This ministry, I will tell you, is for the producing of overcomers. To bring in the reality of the body of Christ and to prepare the bride. This ministry that we're under is not just to sustain us to be good Christians and to be a good Christian church. No, it is to produce overcomers. Because without the overcomers, the Lord cannot come back. The church as a whole has failed God, is still failing God today. Just look, just go to YouTube, just read. The church has not improved their movements. The Lord still reigning today. This is the age of grace. The Lord still works. There's still many of God's people there. Our brothers and sisters. But we have been somehow called and included in this thing called the Lord's recovery. Not because we're better than anyone, but for some reason we're here. And so here, for some reason, God sees fit to open up his word, the interpreted word, like never before in the last 2,000 years. Am I too much, brothers? Am I out of my mind when I say this? Brothers, what ministry has opened the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, not just in a way of dogma, the way of doctrine, the way of letters, but in the way of real truth? And light, and life, and the Spirit. Ultimately, opening up this master key called God's economy. And even ending with that consummation called the New Jerusalem. Brothers, I'm just laying before you just a few things. There's a lot more things of the mysteries of God, of the riches of Christ, open to us, open to us. I mean, the food, the nutrition of this food, the it's not nowhere else. You know, the more difficult, the more strenuous the work, the more you need to eat. Am I right? You need to eat better. You need to. This is the most strenuous work we're facing, brothers, to build up the body of Christ, to overcome. And you need to eat that kind of food. And this food is given to the Lord's recovery. Brothers, I hope that especially the younger brothers would realize the recovery is not a game. It's not another spiritual movement, you know? The best one around nowadays. No. This is for real. This is for real. We are in a war. We are in a battle of the kingdom. We are here doing tremendously significant things that will affect the world. The destiny of this age. I mean, brothers, do we believe that or not? And how much do we believe this? You know, if you consider things like this, that will really cause you to have great resolutions of heart and great searchings of heart. And consider your life, consider your future, consider what you're doing in light of this, in light of this. What we do in the world, what we make, what we gain, what we lose, whatever, eventually won't mean much. You cannot take it with you when you die. Anyway, but what we are engaged in today spiritually, this has eternal value. This has eternal consequences, brothers. So, okay, now. So today, the seven spirits is here to energize us. I love that word, Brother Lee's word. The energizing God, energizing his loving overcomers. Today, the need, church after church, is for a group of saints, brothers and sisters, to respond to the call to overcome. That's the need today. That's the call today in the local churches. And it's not about I have the overcomer DNA and you don't have it. You know, I have the makeup of an overcomer and you don't. He who has an ear, he, the individual, let him hear. So you know, this is the Lord's call always. You know, he cried out in John 7 on the last day of the feast. Anyone who thirsts, let him come and take the water of life, drink this water. That's what he said. It's up to you. It's a free will thing. It's whoever responds. And so today the call to overcomer is to like this. Who would overcome? Will you be an overcomer? Will you make this choice? Will you live your life today for this great, great thing or not? Let him hear. Then he says also, he who overcomes this and that, repent, or do this or do that. All that needs strength. All that requires more than human natural energy. And for that, we need the seven spirits as another source of energy, of power, of strength that can cause us to do the impossible. And that is to overcome. And not just to overcome sin, of course, you know, the world, and to overcome ourselves, to overcome our flesh, to overcome our disposition. How about that? To overcome our environment, to overcome our sufferings, persecutions, afflictions, to overcome. To overcome our environment. And not to mention to overcome all these religious degradations. He who overcomes. So it's not a matter of DNA. It's a matter of whether you will hear, number one, and number two, you would respond to overcome. So I hope we would be the divisions in Reuben these days. They had that resolve to do war, to beat and fight back God's enemy, Israel's enemy. And they had great searchings of heart to do that. Oh, that song of Deborah is a song of overcomers in that day. The last verse of that song is, may those who love you, or something like this, be like, what is it? The light of the dawn or something that will become what? I'm trying to. I forgot that verse there. Judges 5:31, right? Judges 5:31. Let me see. Yeah. May all your enemies so perish, O Jehovah. See? Warfare. But may those who love him, be like the sun when it rises in its might. And then there are other verses, Proverbs 4:18, Matthew 13:43, that has the same thought there about those, the Proverbs, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. That's the sunrise, which shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Until the full day. Matthew 13:43, then the righteous will shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has an ear, let him hear. So the thought here is the thought of the overcomers of Christ. These people are like the sun that shines from sunrise all the way to what? To rise in its might, and all until it shines brighter and brighter until the full day. What is that? That's noontime. That's noontime. These overcomers do not go into sunset. They have no sunset. They keep going up and up and up and up. You know what is noontime? The kingdom. The coming kingdom. They keep climbing. They keep rising. They shine brighter and brighter. Brothers, I really am not trying to give some message here. I hope you can see the burden here. So here we're talking about serving brothers. We're talking about elders. We're talking about responsible ones, serving ones. Brothers, we need to see this today. Now, the need today is vitality. The need today is to be energized sevenfold. The need today is to be intensified, to live an overcoming life, and to be intensified to what? Do the overcoming work. Not the common living, nor a kind of common work of a Christian, but the overcomer's living, the God-man living, the overcomer's work, to work out the body of Christ, to work out the kingdom, eventually to work out the New Jerusalem. And it's warfare. Now, the thought within me tonight is this. It says, the Lord says in Matthew 24, he was talking about maybe the Jews, you know, in Matthew 24, he prophesied concerning the Jews, concerning Israel, and then concerning the church, and concerning the Gentiles, the world, right? And this verse is under Israel, from his ascension to the consummation of the age. He said this, and because he'll be false prophets and all of that, earthquakes, birth pangs, so forth, so on, persecution. It says, and because lawlessness will be multiplied, the love of many will grow cold. I'm very touched today as I was preparing and praying for this time about this matter of growing cold. A sign of the degradation, indeed the first sign of the degradation in the seven, as seen in the seven churches, that's Ephesus, is that they lost their best love. Which means their love for the Lord is not as hot, as burning, as intense, as strong as once upon a time. In fact, the more the degradation is, right, this is not just talking about the world in general. These are talking about the people of God. Their love grows cold. And I feel, brothers, in these days, you know what our church life needs? Is a burning zeal, a intense earnestness, or rather I should say fervency towards the Lord, towards everything in the spiritual realm. This is what we lost. This is what is missing. We have all the truth. We have lots of riches. We are even given the way, God-ordained way, to practice the church life. We're not short of instructions, of doctrines, of truths. Now, we may be still need to be more constituted. I agree with that. We need to be more constituted with the truth. But by and large, that is not our first shortage. Look, how many Christians go to 7 feasts a year like we do? Seriously. I mean, that's something. That is something. Wouldn't you say that is something? I mean, we got some really wonderful brothers and sisters in the church who would do that. So the riches among us is not lacking. What we lack, L-A-G, is zeal. Is burning. Is fire. Is energy. Is intensity. That's what we're lacking. It's a beautiful car that we're in, but the tires are flat and the gas tank is not full or empty. No matter how great this car is, it won't move. It won't move. We even can have good drivers, but that car won't move and you cannot drive it. What is the air in the tires? What is the fuel in the tank? That is simply the Spirit, not just the Spirit, the sevenfold intensified Spirit of Christ. The Spirit. We have no other energy and strength and power and fuel besides the Spirit. Everything else is strange fire, right? So our desperate need, brothers and sisters, brothers today, is the Spirit, but not a common Spirit, not, I would even say, a one-fold Spirit, but a sevenfold Spirit to burn us, to make us glow, to set us aflame. Don't you feel this way? I mean, what if today in Northern California we're burning? Everyone is burning. Hot. That's the word to Laodicea. I wish you're hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. I'm going to spew you out. Repent. Be zealous, that's the word, to Laodicea. Be zealous, therefore. Be zealous, therefore. And be boiling, be hot. That's the rebuke. Oh, brothers, today we have everything. But are we hot? Where's the zeal? Then you have that verse in Romans 12:11, famous verse. Not slothful or lazy or lacking in zeal. Zeal. Zeal means a fervency, a fire, a burning, an earnestness about everything. You cannot sit there. It moves you. It makes you do things. It makes you active. It makes you aggressive. You're zealous. You're not so calculated, so tentative, so passive. Yeah. I mean that, brothers. But burning in spirit, there's another burning in spirit in the New Testament, that is with Apollos. Remember Apollos? He was an eloquent man from Alexandria, am I right? And he knew the scriptures and he was eloquent, etc. But one of the main main feature of this person was he was burning in spirit. Now, let's not talk about Apollos, that he was not one with Paul. Let's not talk about that tonight. Just talk about this. Burning in spirit. You can just almost picture this person. He not only could speak, he could, you know, and so forth. He was gifted, you know, he knew the word and so forth. But he was most of all burning, his spirit is on fire, on fire. When he speaks, he burns. You know, many of the preachers and teachers of the past, Christian, when they speak, the heart burns. When they speak, there's a power there. There's an energy there. It's not lukewarm. It's not halfway. Serving the Lord as a slave. Burning in spirit. Burning in spirit. Our need today is burning in spirit, brothers. You say, what do I need in my service? Burning in spirit. You ask, what do our meetings need? Burning in spirit. How do we go and preach the gospel? Burning in spirit. How do I serve the Lord? That's what this verse talks about. Serving the Lord as a bondslave. Burning in spirit. That means if you're not zealous, if you're not burning, you're not serving. And go and read the footnote there. That footnote. That talks about after on this verse on burning. How the three things. Number one, the presented body, chapter 12, verse 1, Romans. And then a transformed mind in verse 2. And then a burning spirit. A tripartite being ready to serve the Lord. But he said this, Brother Lee said this. When our minds are transformed, are truly transformed, there could be a tendency that we become passive. And even we become dormant. He said it is at this time we need to balance that with what? With a burning spirit. And I say this is what precisely what we need today. We can know a lot. We can even say a lot of truth in the recovery. But there's no fire there. There's no power there. There's no spirit there. And so, another verse, Paul, his charge to Timothy in 2 Timothy. Timothy, I want to tell you, do not neglect, do not forget the gift that is in you. There's a spark of a gift, divine gift, that is given to you and to each one of us. Don't neglect that. Don't forget that by the laying on of the hands. But rather, what? Fan into flame. That gift of God. Fan into flame. That means make it burning. I'm sure he is not telling Timothy to go to some other person to please fan me. I'm quite sure that's not what he said. He's telling him to fan himself. Go fan yourself into flame. That spark is there, but if you don't fan it, it won't erupt into a flame. It won't burn. It just sits there. It's warm. It's but of a power. And of love and of sober-mindedness. The whole thing there you can see is a kind of what? Self-exercise. To fan that gift that the Lord of grace that the Lord has given to each one of us. And when we talk about gift, it's always talking about function. It's always talking about service. It's always talking about work in the church. Brothers, we're here talking about serving the Lord, right? We have the training. We have the elders training. We have this and that. Brothers, I am concerned that you may have all of that help. And they're all good. They're all good. But I am concerned the fire is lacking. The temperature is lacking. The burning is lacking. The use of the gift that the Lord has given to us is lacking. There's not an earnest endeavor. I'm not saying we're not faithful, we don't do anything, we don't serve the church. We do these things. But I'm talking about that energy. I'm talking about that zeal. I'm talking about that burning within us, just on fire within. I'm not saying jumping up and down. But nevertheless, it is something burning. I mean, our meetings, look at our meetings. When is the last time we have a burning meeting? I mean, people who come to the meeting just get burned. Not in a, you know, strange and crazy way. You know what I'm saying. It's the condition of your spirit. That's what it says there. My brothers, and for this, we have the seven spirits already. We know, you know what we need? You know, these perfecting fellowship, we need to spend time with the Lord. What does that mean? That is not just to spend time. When the Lord was on the earth, it's to spend time with the lion lamb with seven eyes, shooting flames from his eyes, talking about beholding the Lord and reflecting the Lord. It's the seven eyes of the Lamb that needs to shine right into us, to infuse us, to energize us, to burn us, to judge us. And we're going to talk about confession in the next perfecting training. That should come from the kind of eyes, observing, judging, exposing, causing us to just have to repent and confess in an intense way, resulting in a truly vital condition, a revived condition. I tell you, when you're like this, what you do, gospel, shepherding, even taking care of practical matters of the church, we are burning in the spirit. And pretty soon the church will start burning. The temperature will rise. Brothers, this is the vitality we're talking about. The vital groups is not a formula. It's not a method. It's a singular vital person. It starts with one person with this kind of overcoming spirit, this kind of burning, this kind of vitality. And this fire begins to spread. And it becomes a group. That's the vital group. Anyway, brothers, in Isaiah 64, it says, but there's no one who will stir up themselves to lay hold of me, who would call upon me, who will stir up themselves and call upon me and lay hold of me. Something like this, Isaiah. Brothers, you say, how do I burn? I will tell you, you stir up yourself. You stir up yourself. You do something. You and I. We should become absolute desperate before the Lord. The whole attitude will change in our approaching the Lord. Trust me, the Lord will respond in kind. Not just a kind of sweet time with the Lord. Well, we do need sweet times with the Lord. But the age calls for the seven eyes and seven lamps of fire to greatly intensify us to meet the Lord's need today. So that's my too long of a speaking. That's my burden. It's my burden. It's time for Northern California to move. It's time for every local church to move, to rise, to climb, to endeavor, to advance the Lord's interest and the Lord's testimony. And oh, I look at even your faces here, the so many good brothers, so many good sisters. You have so many working saints, 1,600 on paper. You've got so many churches. The brothers are one. There's a one accord there. The saints love the Lord. They love the ministry. We're building a blending center. I mean, the Lord has blessed Northern California abundantly. It's a wonderful place. I serve in many, many regions and different places. I tell you, there is a particular blessing the Lord has given to NorCal. But I only pray to see a breakthrough in this way. The provision is there. The seven spirit is sent out. It's already sent forth. The Lamb is there. That's all, brothers. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Monroe. I believe all of us need to take this seriously before the Lord, individually and also when we meet in our brothers' meetings following this. We just simply have to take the call to be overcomers. The sevenfold intensified spirit is already here. We just need to take it in a real, genuine, positive way to go forward.
And let me add this, number one, again, this has to start very personally. Personal. It has to start with you. It has to be personal. It has to be. Not a movement, not, you know what I mean, not. It starts with one. Vitality starts with one. Number two, have faith. Don't have unbelief. That, oh, maybe the Lord doesn't want to do this. Maybe it won't happen with us. Don't even accept that. All we need to do is say amen to his call and respond to his call and take the necessary steps as we have been taught to go to him, to confess our sins, to consecrate. And begin to be active and move and do things for the Lord. To contact people, to preach the gospel, to shepherd, to so many things. I mean, when you're on fire, I tell you, everything you touch burns. I hope that would be an uncontrollable fire. Okay. Do we end here or what,
yes.
Brother Don?
Yeah, yes, we can end here. Amen. Thank you, Brother Minor. We really need this word.
Amen.
Amen. Okay.